In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we are given instructions on the beginning of Great Lent. That is why these two readings, one from the Epistle of St. Paul and the other from the Gospel of Matthew, were selected by the Church. Because, of course, today is the Sunday in which we commemorate the expulsion of Adam from Paradise, or otherwise known as Forgiveness Sunday. And, of course, tomorrow begins Great Lent. So, don't these words apply fully to the beginning of the fast? Paul says, "And that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." This is like a call to arms. And this is what Lent is about. Lent is about knowing that it is time to awaken out of sleep. More than any other time of the year, it is time to truly focus more on spiritual things. Really, Lent should be, all of our life should be with intensity. But we cannot do that because of our weakness. So at least for a tenth of the year, we have more intensity, more fasting, more prayer, almsgiving, attending the services, reading spiritual things, struggling with our sins. Because the whole point of Lent is to learn of ourselves and learn of God and to change. It's not to fast. It's not to go to the services. It's not to get things together so that you can have your Pascha basket on Pascha. It is so that you can change. And it is to awaken out of sleep, as the Apostle says. Now, what is this sleep that he talks about? Well, this sleep is our sinfulness. And really, all of our lives. To awaken out of the things that are holding us down. Sleep. When you sleep, you're insensible. You don't know what's going on around you. We could say that we are asleep as regards much of righteousness. So let us awaken out of sleep, the Apostle says. And he says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And what does this mean? Well, especially in the context of Great Lent, at the end of Great Lent comes Pascha. And if you have preparation in your heart and soul for Pascha, truly the Lord will give His grace to you and you will be able to hold on to it. God is always giving His grace to us. But we must be able to hold on to it. We must be able to apprehend it. And that is only possible if we are in the right disposition. So now is the time to awaken out of sleep, and our salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed, because this is an opportunity to truly change. It's truly exciting. I hope that at the beginning of Great Lent, you are excited. That you think, not excited like we'd be excited about going to a ball game, but excited because God can change you during this time. The Apostle goes on to say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. What does it mean, the night is far spent? It means that, two things really. One is that, speaking of our approaching death, all of our life is like the night. And then the day comes. And the day is the judgment, when God reveals Himself as He is. Another way to think of the night is that we've done enough time in the night. We've been in the night long enough. And the night is in dark, the darkness where evil things are done. It's time to get out of the night and into the day. It's time to be honest with ourselves about what's wrong with us, about the darkness, the night that's in us. We've done enough of it. It's far spent. And to have the day come into our life. And that is to repent and to have salvation. So, because of this, because the day is at hand, it's time to waken out of sleep, because of this we should cast off the works of darkness. and put on the armor of light. This is the purpose of Great Lent, quintessentially. All of our life should be for this purpose. But, as I said before, there are times in seasons when we concentrate more because we just cannot have the same amount of attention every day. So, we are going through Lent to change. What kind of changes do we want to have? Well, the apostle goes on and says, let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or chambering or wantonness or strife or envying. He's just mentioning a bunch of different sins. There's 100 more besides. But instead of these things, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This putting on of the Lord Jesus Christ is what we speak of when we are baptized. When we are baptized on Christ, in Christ, we put on Christ, right? We become like Him so that we live like Him. And we make no provision for the flesh. Now, how is it that you don't make provision for the flesh? Well, first of all, what is this, making provision for the flesh? It's our self-indulgence, whether it be for our flesh, in something we would do, or something we would eat, or entertainment, or see, or how we think, that we allow ourselves to think thoughts of superiority, or judgment, or anger, or lust, or all the rest. To make no provision for the flesh is to not allow yourself to indulge yourself in sin. Now there are ways that help us to keep away from making provision for the flesh. Because we're not disciplined. So, self-discipline will help us. This is evident even in the world. I mean, this is why that recruits go through basic training. Because they have to learn discipline so they can fight together as a unit and not think of themselves. In any well-run company, there is basically a culture that you don't think of yourself, you think of others. You don't indulge yourself. So what are some of the things that we can do to fight our flesh, our desire to indulge ourselves in sin? Well, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and forgiving others. Because there's power when you forgive others. God enlightens you when you forgive others. Now, we think of Lent as fasting. And that's really kind of unfortunate because Lent is not only about fasting. Lent is about not making provision for the flesh. Fasting is very beneficial and I would say absolutely necessary. Because if you cannot keep yourself from eating a hamburger, how are you going to make yourself pray with attention? How are you going to forgive someone that has been on your mind that you have some sort of feeling against for many years? How are you going to be pure in your heart if you can't just give up a hamburger? So it's really important to fast. But that's not the point of Lent. The point of Lent is making no provision for the flesh so that we would change, so that we would put on Christ, so that we would be aware of God's grace filling us. You know, the Lord does say that He causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. But the rain does not affect the evil and the good in the same way. That rain being the Holy Spirit. We see that in life. The rain does not affect all parts of the ground the same. If ground has been prepared to receive the rain, then it receives it and it soaks it up like a sponge and things grow out of it. But if the ground is hard and rocky and dry, we know what happens when the rain happens in mid-July in Texas. All it does is crack the ground and roll off. If that ground has not been prepared, then the rain does not help it. In fact, it actually makes it worse. And it is the same way with the rain of the Holy Spirit. We want to prepare ourselves to receive this rain. And this is the time, especially, when we prepare ourselves by making no provision for the flesh, but putting on Christ. The apostle goes on to tell us some how to put fasting in perspective. You should keep a fast. As far as what your brother or sister does, they will stand before God. And you won't be the one judging them. So don't be concerned with them. Now let us not make a mistake now. I've heard people misinterpret this passage that St. Paul has, that speaking of one may eat all things, but another one is weak and only eats herbs, and let him that eateth not despise him that not eateth. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't fast. And that doesn't mean when your brother is not fasting that you should not fast. It's just that you should not judge your brother for not fasting. Now, the gospel goes on and really continues the instruction about the beginning of Lent. And the Lord says something that is really great and terrible at the same time. It is the sure, certain path to salvation. And it is also the sure, certain path to damnation, depending on how you obey or disobey the Lord's words. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. This is plain English. If it were in Russian, it'd be plain Russian. It's very plain. There's no allegory here. This is our Lord speaking, and He is speaking dogma. And the dogma is, you must forgive others. And if you don't, you won't be forgiven. There are many other places in the Scripture that say the same thing. So, we must forgive others their sins. This is really important. And it's really hard. That's why the Lord speaks of it so much. And I'll tell you, if you fast and pray and give alms and struggle, this will assist you in forgiving others. It'll also assist you in finding out that there's a lot of times you don't forgive others that you might not be aware of. When you judge another man's servant, meaning judging other people, that's a form of not forgiving others. And the greatest way to obtain the ability to forgive others? Know yourself. Know that you are a sinner. And be humble about it. The humble man, the man who knows that he's a sinner, and that he deserves no mercy from God whatsoever, and yet God has given it, forgives everyone. Freely and easily. The proud man, perhaps who thinks that he has God's mercy, he does not forgive others. So if you want to forgive others, become humble. And truly, fasting and prayer and almsgiving are all things that will help humble your soul. Because at the root of our problems is pride. You can express pride with many different sins. Self-indulgence, jealousy, self-centeredness, blindness to our own sins. All those things are because of pride. Hatred is because of pride. Jealousy, everything else. All these things are because of pride. And it cripples us. The fasting, the prayer, the almsgiving will help us to squelch pride. But only if we do it for that purpose. If we do it for the purpose of being able to proclaim we do it like the Pharisee did, it doesn't do us any good at all. So Great Lent is a period of time for you to change. Change by putting on Christ. Change by forgiving your brother. This is absolutely necessary. There is no option involved here. You cannot be a Christian and not forgive others. You won't be saved. So you must cultivate this feeling of forgiving others. This must be uppermost and primary in your mind. Now it is one thing to say, you must forgive others or you won't be forgiven. And you can believe that. But we are very resistant creatures. We resist change. We resist things we don't like. We easily forget things we don't like or that are not part of our habits, our good habits. So, I believe it's very important to do things that cultivate this feeling. That's why we should pray. That's why we should pray for others that we have problems with especially. That's why we should read the scriptures with expectation, so that they would teach us something of ourselves. The Psalter is especially good for this. You can easily personalize every part of the Psalter. And the Gospels as well. This is why we go through the period of Great Lent. So that we will change. Now, at the very end of the Gospel, the Lord tells us something. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, Great Lent is a time for establishing emphatically what your treasure is. What is your treasure? Is your treasure daily living? Entertainment? Comfort? Self-indulgence? You can have all those things in this life. But your treasure won't be in heaven then. Great Lent is a time for reestablishing your priorities. Perhaps for changing your priorities. Making them solid. And knowing that there is a next life. And this life is only a shadow. In the next life, the Lord will see into our hearts. And He will know us. Or He will not know us. According to the end of Matthew's Gospel. Say, I know you or I don't know you. And He will know those who act like He acts, who forgive. If you forgive, everything else is going to happen too. If you don't forgive, it doesn't matter what you do. You won't be saved. It's right there in the Gospel. So let's not shy away from it. Instead, let's embrace it and let's find a way to change ourselves so that every part of our life is forgiving others. That's really the purpose of Great Lent. May God help us to forgive others, to put on Christ, to be saved. Amen.